starting in Luke,
chapter 11, verse 8. I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him because of he is his friend, yet because of his importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he needeth. Now, that's the only place that word is used in the Bible. But there are examples of that kind of importunity. The first one is Abraham and his prayer trying to save Sodom. So let's go there first. It's Genesis 18. Genesis has a lot of chapters. Now you remember the story. Excuse me. Abraham and Lot were standing on a sort of a hill. In one direction was Sodom and Gomorrah. The other direction was just plain Israel dirt. Sodom and Gomorrah were said to have been in the valley, which is now the Dead Sea, was said to have been the most beautiful spot on earth, and it even compared to Eden. And Abraham gave Lot the choice of what to take first, and he looked and saw this beautiful verdant valley, the River Jordan running through it all the way down to the Gulf of Aqaba. And it was just incredibly lush and one of the most, as I said, it's incredibly beautiful. And so Lot chose Sodom. And you got to get rid of that image of what Sodom and Gomorrah are in terms of what our understanding is. You got to see that it was like looking at the most beautiful verdant valley, well-watered, trees everywhere. And so Lot chose that, and Abraham chose the Israel plain. And so then all kinds of hell broke out. And this, let's start in verse 16. And the men rose up from thence and looked towards Sodom, and Abraham went with them to bring them on the way. And the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham the thing that which I do, seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him? For I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him, that they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, and that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he hath spoken. And the Lord said, because the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because their sin is very grievous, I will go down now and see whether they have done altogether according to the cry of it, which has come unto me. And if not, I will know. And the men turned their faces from thence and went towards Sodom. But Abraham stood yet before the Lord. And Abraham drew near and said, wilt thou also destroy the righteous with the wicked? Peradventure there be 50 righteous within the city. Will thou also destroy and not spare the place for the 50 righteous that are therein? That be far from thee to do after this manner, to to slay the righteous with the wicked, and that the righteous should be as the wicked that be far from thee. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right? And the Lord said, if I find in Sodom 50 righteous men within the 50 righteous within the city, then I will spare all the place for their sakes. And Abraham answered and said, behold, now I have taken upon me to speak unto the Lord, which am but dust and ashes. Peradventure, there shall lack 5 of the 50 righteous. Will I destroy all the city for the lack of 5? And he said, if I find there 40 and 5, I will not destroy it. And he spake unto him yet again, and said, peradventure there be 40 found there. And he said, I will not do it for 40's sake. And he said unto him, oh, let not the Lord be angry, and I will speak. Peradventure there shall be 30 found there. And he said, I will not do it if I find 30 there. And he said, behold now, I have taken upon me to speak unto the Lord. Peradventure there shall be 20 found there. And he said, I will not destroy it for 20's sake. And he said, oh, let not the Lord be angry, and I will speak yet but this once. Peradventure 10 shall be found there. And he said, I will not destroy it for 10's sake. And the Lord went his way as soon as he had left communing with Abraham, and Abraham returned unto his place. Now the mystery is, 10 is the Seder. And the Seder is everything. And so 10 became the hallmark. If there were 10 righteous men, or 10 righteous people, then he wouldn't destroy it. But he only found 2. Lot and his wife. But Lot went, as the Lord commanded, and Sarah, or his wife, I forgot her name, turned and looked back. She didn't just look back, she looked back longingly. And that's when she was turned into the pillar of salt. Because she longed after that which was about to be destroyed. When it was destroyed, it dammed the Jordan River. It no longer it no longer flowed anymore into the Gulf of Aqaba, and it became the Dead Sea. And so that's as far as the Jordan River went. And everything, I mean, if there is no more barren place on earth than that period, that space from the Gulf of, from the Dead Sea down to the Gulf of Aqaba. It's just nothing. And yet it was the most beautiful place on earth. But the point of it is the importunity of Abraham in pleading for the people of Sodom and Gomorrah. Now that's the only example really that I found of what importunity is in the Old Testament. So everybody understand what importunity. Okay, let's look at another example. Let's go to Matthew 18. No, Matthew 15, I'm sorry. We have to read more than we're, so we can see the contrast. So let's start in verse 1. Then came to Jesus scribes and Pharisees, which were of Jerusalem, saying, why do thy disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? for they wash not their hands when they eat bread or eat food. Remember, bread is always artos, and it just means food most of the time. But he answered and said unto them, Why do you also transgress the commandment of God by your tradition? For God commanded, saying, Honor thy father and thy mother, and he that curseth father or mother, let him die in the death. But you say, Whosoever shall say to his father or his mother, It is a gift, by whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me, and honor not his father or mother, he shall be free. Thus have you made the commandment of God of none effect by your tradition. You hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy of you, saying, This people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth, and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. And he called the multitude and said unto them, Hear and understand. Not that which goeth into the mouth defileth the man, but that which cometh out of the mouth, that defileth the man. Then came his disciples and said unto him, Knowest thou that the Pharisees are offended after they heard this saying? And he answered and said, Every plant which my heavenly Father hath planted shall be rooted up. Let them alone. They be blind leaders of the blind, and if the blind lead the blind, both shall fall into the ditch. Then answered Peter and said unto him, Declare unto us this parable. And Jesus said, Are you also yet without understanding? Do you not understand that whatsoever entereth in at the mouth goeth into the belly and is cast out into the draught? But those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and they defile the man. For out of the heart proceedeth thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornication, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man, but to eat with unwashed hands defileth not a man. So that whole contrast there is what the Jews had been doing about, they teach the traditions of men as the commandments of God. And if you'll look carefully at whatever we do, we've got to be very careful that we never fall into that trap. Now the contrast. Then Jesus went thence and departed into the coast of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with a devil. But he answered her not a word. Now this, again, is the New Testament version of importunity. He answered her not a word, and his disciples came and besought him, saying, Send her away, for she crieth after us. But he answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, It is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs. Do you understand what that... He's calling the Gentiles dogs. Which is pretty interesting. And she said, Truth, Lord, yet dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith, be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. So again, we have these two contrasts. One is the importunity of a Gentile versus the Pharisees and Sadducees teaching for the doctrines of men for the commandments of God. And so we got to keep that in mind, because importunity here won out over the formal religion. And so that's those two examples. There's probably others, but those are the only two examples of importunity that I found in the scriptures to give it meat so we can understand more better what it means. All right? Any thoughts on it?
I'll just hit from this word defile a man, that you're defiled when you do these, the heart proceed, thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications.
go to Mark. It's a better, Mark's version of the same thing. Mark 7. Mark's version is more precise. Well, this is a good one. We'll probably spend the rest of the time on this one. Verse 1. Then came together unto him the Pharisees and certain of the scribes, which came from Jerusalem. And when they saw some of his disciples eat bread with defiled, that is to say, with unwashed hands, they found fault. For the Pharisees and all the Jews, except they wash their hands oft, eat not, holding the traditions of the elders.
That was the symbol of
well, we're going to see it.
Right.
And when they came from the market, except they wash, they eat not. And many other things there be which they have received to hold, as the washing of cups and goat pots and brazen vessels and of tables. Then the Pharisees and scribes asked him, Why walk not thy disciples according to the tradition of the elders, but eat bread with unwashed hands? And he answered and said unto them, Well hath Isaiah prophesied of you hypocrites, as it is written, This people honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Howbeit in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrine the commandments of men. For laying aside the commandment of God, you hold a tradition of men on the washing of pots and cups, and many such things you do, like things you do. And he said to them, Full well you reject the commandment of God, that you may keep your tradition. For Moses said, Honor thy father and thy mother, and whosoever curseth his father or mother, let him die the death. But you say, If a man shall say to his father or mother, It is korban, that is to say, a gift, by whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me, he shall be free. And you suffer him no more to do aught for his father or mother. And what that means is, there was a tradition, this thing about korban, it was like an inheritance that the people got, but they didn't meet the needs of their parents with it, because that was the tradition, that this inheritance came to you and you no longer had the responsibility for your parents in old age. And when he had called all the people unto him, he said unto them, Hearken unto me, every one of you, and understand, there is nothing from without a man that entering into him can defile him, but the things which come out of him, those are that which defile a man. I've got a cough drop in my mouth, and the cough drop gets in the way. If any man have ears to hear, let him hear. And when he was entered into the house from the people, his disciples asked him concerning the parable. And he said to them, Are you so without understanding also? Do you not perceive that whatsoever things from without entering into the man, it cannot defile him? Because it entereth not into his heart, but into the belly, and goeth out in a draught, purging or cleansing all meats. And he said, That which cometh out of the man, that defile the man. For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these things come from within and defile the man. Now, this is a biggie. It's not just talking about things you eat, it's things you perceive and things you see. Nothing from without can defile. comes from without only defiles because it's in agreement with what's in your inner man. And so all of the I don't care whether it's pornography or any other thing, it defiles you because it's a witness against you from what you already have within you.
Yeah.
Now this is critical, because otherwise you'll get on these kicks about, oh, we got to clean up this or clean up that. But that's not the issue. The issue is never anything outside of you. You cannot have an enemy. You cannot have a thing that is against you. You're the thing that's against God. And that's why all these things happen to be just witnesses. In the same way, if a preacher, he can't teach you anything. You can only be a witness to what you already know. Well, so then all this other stuff is a witness to what is already within you. Otherwise, it would have no effect. Why are movies scary? Why have these producers found out how scary the movies are? I mean, really sell. Well, it's because that stuff is already within you. So the freedom is to understand that you're the only enemy of God. You are the 666. You are the son of perdition, the man of sin. You have set yourself up in the temple of God, showing yourself that you're God. Everybody else thinks you're a fool. And you sit around judging what this is good and that's not, and this is right and that's wrong. And it's just horse hockey. But you get righteousness from it. You love that feeling of being right. And you love pointing the finger. Amen?
Would you say exactly what defile means? Do you know that exactly?
Yeah. It means unfit for service, unfit for God. Unfit for the temple.
So it's like the opposite of clean, it's unclean, it's defiled.
It defiles because it already witnesses to something within you.
So what overall, generally, and in many specific instances, it just shows that you are, as you say, the one who is totally opposed to God, who you are defiled, and your only cure is
death. You are the enemy, you are the mortal enemy of God.
So the best thing that can happen to you is to find out this is true, to happen to you.
Yeah.
If you don't ever see it, you walk around thinking you're clean, and you're washing your hands, thinking you're clean.
I want you to put yourself, I knew that I was the Antichrist at my conversion experience. That's one of the most humongous things. And I knew I had to die. And I hated it. And so for years, 3 or 4 years, I never even mentioned the Antichrist thing. Then I started talking about it. And almost without exception, Gary was an exception, but Gary didn't like the Antichrist. Huh? But it's funny. Now, I've never heard that anywhere. I never read it anywhere. I never saw it anywhere. And yet, all of a sudden, I knew that all men were the instead of Christ. Now, that's a scary thing. I knew I had to speak it eventually, but I tried not to. I remember the Bible study where I first said it. Huh?
It went over real well.
It didn't go over too well.
No.
No, it was 1978, I think. 77. I don't know, something in that area.
Later than that.
Hmm?
Later.
Was it later? Well, then I waited longer than a couple of years. No, I said it to Pat Booth. I told him he was the Antichrist. I think he was the first one I told. And he went nuts.
And still does.
Yeah. He said, every time I talk to him, he says, don't bring up that Antichrist thing.
I'm redeemed.
And my thoughts are redeemed. Yeah. Right. But this is important because it falls into the whole idea of who you are, that you're an enemy of God, and your only solution is to understand sin isn't what you do, it's who you are. And you are the man of sin, the son of perdition. That's the fruit of the fall. Oh, no, that can't be. Well, I promise you it is. Until you see that and accept your death and quit giving any of your thoughts or ideas any importance, you're going to still, you say, well, I know it, but you act like you don't. Amen?
I had a funny little response to that where Pat Booth said, but I'm redeemed. He was redeemed until he said that. The minute he said it, the I jumped in, raised up, established separation from Christ, got life from saying, but I am redeemed. He kept his mouth shut.
He couldn't, though. Out of the fullness of the mouth, the fullness of the heart, the mouth speaks. Well, while we're in, let's just look. I want to talk about shutting up heaven. Let's go to Matthew 23 real quick, because that's where the trouble, the door is shut. Matthew 23. This is... Matthew 23 is the woe chapter. If you ever think Jesus only said nice things, you ought to read this. Let's start in verse 6. And they loved the uppermost rooms at feasts and the chief seats in the synagogue, and greetings in the markets, and to be called of men Rabbi, Rabbi. But be ye not called Rabbi, for one is your master, even Christ, and all ye are brethren. And call no man your father upon the earth, for one is your Father, which is in heaven. Neither be called masters, for one is your master, even Christ. But he that is greatest among you shall be your servant. And whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased, and he that shall humble himself shall be exalted. But woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you shut up the kingdom of heaven against men, for you neither go in yourselves, and neither suffer or allow you them that are entering to go in. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you devour widows' houses, and for a pretense make long prayers. make long prayer. Therefore you shall receive the greater damnation. And this is we'll quit on this one. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you compass or go over sea and land to make one convert. And when he is made, you make him twofold more the child of hell than yourselves. Woe unto you, blind guides, which say, well, anyway, we could go on and on, but you shut up heaven, and you, because you don't go in. Now, what is heaven? Heaven is this, it's not something up there, because heaven is the new Jerusalem. It came down to us on Pentecost. Now, heaven, Oranos, just means the highest in rank or highest in order, or could be highest in height, but it's highest in rank. It's the highest place that man can go. And that's the New Jerusalem. Not only are we in the New Jerusalem, we're in the Holy of Holies. We are seated on the mercy seat under the wings of the cherubim. That place is called the Oracle of God. That's why it says, if any man speak, let him speak as the Oracle of God. Let your speech be seasoned with salt. Why? Because you're in eternity, and you know it, and you live it. So heaven came down to us. We don't go up to it. Amen?
Amen.
Any response to any of this? Heard me say forever, if you're not in heaven now, you never will be. All right. You're doing something.
Cogitate.
You going to share with the cogits? Or the tating?
It's got to come to fruition.
Take it, big guy.